Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Maybe for us tonight, if you can turn me up a little higher, maybe I'll make it through with my voice here. Matthew 23. Looking once again tonight at the subject of hell. That's a subject that people don't like to talk about because they say it's too negative, not positive enough. And we'll look more at this tonight, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, that every doctrine is important, every teaching is important in the word. And Father, I pray that you continue to work in our hearts now, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew 23, we're on point number six as we continue on from this morning. And this point number six is that many religious people are going to be surprised that they are cast into hell. Many religious people. Matthew 23 in verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of where? Hell than yourselves. Drop down to verse 23, or excuse me, 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with him in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the what? Damnation of hell. There's going to be a lot of religious people right now, these ones that are saying, we don't talk about any doctrine that divides. We don't talk about anything negative. There's going to be a lot of religious people that one day are going to face God, and they are going to be cast into hell, just like the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, everyone in their day looked up at these people as the most religious of the religious. And yet, Jesus said to them, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Can you imagine? There's a church down south. I think Brother Steve sent me the link to that. Is that North South Carolina? One of those two. They're burning perverted Bibles this Halloween. Ooh, you start burning anything, books, and the news media picks up on that right away. And they did. All kinds of links to that thing. News media. This church is burning Bibles. And so, can you imagine the national news media interviewing a preacher and saying that some well-known religious leader was not going to escape the damnation of hell? Can you imagine how that would be plastered all over? And I could have brought you many quotes tonight about nationally known preachers that when asked specific questions about, like, are Mormons going to heaven or hell? They wouldn't answer the question. Are Muslims headed for for hell if they don't believe in Jesus? They wouldn't answer the question. That is the day in which we are living. But I want you to notice, what did Jesus say to these religious leaders? He said, "How can ye escape the damnation of hell?" And back in verse 15, he said, "You compass sea and land to make proselytes, and you make them twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." And yet we're living in a day where people say, "I don't want to talk about anything negative. That's not what God has called me to do. God has called me to be positive." That's what Joel Osteen says, the largest church in America, when asked these questions. God hasn't called him to talk about those things. Funny thing, you know, the apostles, I'm thinking of the apostle Paul talking about he was going to preach the whole counsel of God. And we are living in a day where preachers are saying, "Well, I don't talk about that doctrine. Or I don't talk about that doctrine. God hasn't called me to talk about that doctrine." Listen, if God has called them to preach, he has called them to preach the whole counsel of God. Everything God says is important. Everything. Jesus is telling religious people here, you are headed for hell. You are headed for the damnation of hell. Look in Matthew 7. Matthew 7. What is wrong with America? We only want to hear the positive. We don't want to hear the negative. Do you realize they've even talked about doing away with testing in school? Now all the children would say, "Amen, it's about time they got some sense, you know." Well, why? Well, because they're afraid if a student doesn't do well on the test, it might depress them. It might hurt their feelings. We don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, do we? So we better not test anyone. We want to keep them all the same. That's the day in which we live. And it's the same politically and spiritually. It's the same with psychology. What is the basis of psychology? Psychology means the study of the soul, the psuche, the soul. But it's the study of the soul apart from God and his word. And so what do they arrive at? "Well, it's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. It's McDonald's fault that they made that coffee so hot and that I spilled it on my lap when I was driving and eating or drinking down the road. It's their fault. I should get millions of dollars." I don't know who's the most crazy, that woman or the jury that awarded her that money. It's unbelievable. That is the day in which we're living now. Everything's got to be positive. "It's not my fault. It's the other guy." We always like to know, who are those guys anyway? You know, who are those guys? Those guys. Well, it's us guys that pay out all that money through our insurance. That money isn't free. It doesn't grow on trees. Matthew 7:21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." You know what that tells us? Not all religious people are going to heaven. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." What's the first word of verse 22? "Many." "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied," what? "In thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I," what? "Never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." These are religious people. It's not a small group, it's many. It says, verse 2, many will say, many are going to stand before God and say, "God, you've got to let me into heaven. I've done all these things for you." Religious people are going to be cast into hell. Jesus was going to tell them, verse 23, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So, what do we need to tell these religious people? John chapter 3. John chapter 3, let's turn there. I was reading over many quotes of these nationally known preachers. They think these people now in lands that have never heard the name Jesus are going to be okay as long as they're seeking God the best they know how. Then why send out missionaries? If those people are seeking God the best they know how, and if they're okay, then why send out missionaries? Why waste the money? John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Notice, he's a Pharisee, verse 1. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Who's he saying this to? A religious leader, a teacher. He says to Jesus, we know you must be from God. Now, tell us. And he simply says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Sometimes we've been out witnessing and someone will say, man or woman, will say, I'm a Sunday school teacher at such and such a church. Do you think they would get just a little offended if we say it, said, ma'am or sir, you must be born again? Do you know what they would do? Why? You and that church, you know, you think you're so high and mighty. That's exactly what Jesus did to this man. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, many times those type of churches will interpret that as you have to ask Jesus to save you, plus that those baptismal waters wash away your sin. But notice, verse 5 is interpreted by verse 6. Verse 6 is that which is born of the what? Flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the what? Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The water, being born of water, is talking about being born of the flesh. A little baby is born in a sack of water. Being born of water and of spirit. Being born of the flesh and of the spirit. The two verses complement and interpret each other. So it's only the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Notice with me then in the next point is Matthew 5. And we touched on this morning, so we're not going to dwell on it tonight. But there is real fire in hell. We gave you the quotes this morning about people that can't seem to figure it out. Well, the Bible is very clear. Matthew 5, verse 21. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of what? Hell fire. This is Jesus talking. He said, this type of a person will be in danger of hell fire, not of hell thirst. We saw this morning from Luke 16, there is thirst in hell. But Jesus said, in danger of hell fire. Why is it that we can't seem to figure out if there's real fire in hell? What more could Jesus have said? If you do this, you're in danger of hell fire. Okay, number 8. The fire in hell is not temporary, but is eternal or everlasting. Notice in Matthew 18. Because some people like to make hell a type of purgatory or temporary punishment. The Bible never talks about the fire in hell being temporary. Matthew 18 and verse 8. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into a life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into what? Everlasting fire. It's not temporary, it's everlasting. Then Matthew 25. Matthew 25. We look at this verse this morning. Fire in hell is not temporary, it is everlasting or eternal. Matthew 25, 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into what? Everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. It's not temporary. How about Jude? Book of Jude. You can stay in chapter 1 if you would like. Jude, verse 7. Jude, verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of what? Eternal fire. The people of Sodom are still there. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Then let's go to Mark chapter 9. We're going to look at two things out of this passage. And if you think they scoff at the fire in hell, wait till we talk about the next subject. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. You know what? These things are not something that's unclear at all. It's very clear. The Bible says over and over, there is fire in hell, and it is everlasting. Mark 9, 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that what? Never shall be quenched. That's the Greek word asbestos. Asbestos they don't like to use anymore because they say it causes cancer. The asbestos that I've seen in my life is a gray fibrous substance. I don't know if it's always that color. It seems like it's always the color I've seen it anyway. It's gray. They made it in hard sheets or kind of like almost like cloth they would wrap around things. And they say it causes cancer, but asbestos is not consumable by fire, and that's why they used it so much, because it was a good, next to things that are really hot, they would use it. Like they would use it under wood stoves. Many people in their homes had a solid sheet of asbestos underneath their wood stoves for many years before they said it causes cancer. This is where we get that word from, the Greek, asbestos, into the fire that never shall be quenched. In other words, there is no way to consume this fire. The fire in hell is never going to burn itself out. Now, those of you who have wood stoves would wish that you could put wood in there that would never be consumed, that would just always burn. Well, the fire in hell is that way. It's never going to burn out. Never. Verse 44. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is what? Not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that what? Never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is what? Not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is what? Not quenched. How many times does God have to say something before we get it? This passage alone. He says it over and over again. The fire is not quenched. This passage proves that the matter of repentance. What does a hand have to do with belief? Some people say repentance is causing works to enter into salvation. No, it isn't. Repentance is having the desire to turn from our sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's having the desire to be cleansed, to be changed, to be transformed. We can't do it. That's why John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We know this flesh is vile, it's weak, it's sinful. We try to do things and we fail. We know that. But the difference is the desire. And this message going forth today is oh, it has nothing to do with repentance or desire to change. Just come to God as you are, not having to change, and he will accept you. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches you come to him with a desire to be transformed. The first word out of Jesus' mouth in Matthew 4:17 was repent. The first word out of John the Baptist's mouth in Matthew 3, verses 1 through 3, there was repent. So we must preach repentance. So what is a hand? Why would Jesus say it'd be better to cut your hand off than have two hands to go to hell? Or to cut your foot off, it'd be better to go to hell, or it'd be better to go through life with one foot than two, rather than go with 2 feet to hell. Or two eyes, it'd be better to only have one eye in life than to have two eyes in life and go to hell. It's because the hand does things it shouldn't do. And if this hand is going to cause me to stumble, it'd be better to have it cut off. If my feet are going to take me places where I shouldn't go. If, you know, I've talked to people before and they say, I just can't give up my dancing. Well, you know what? Then it would be better to have one foot so you can't dance. And of course, maybe you could have an artificial leg, but you know what? If dancing is going to keep me out of heaven, if I can't stay off the dance floor, if I can't stay from those, refrain from going to those places of lust, it'd be better to have my foot cut off. That's what Jesus said. That is what Jesus said. I've had a man, we were out witnessing, he had a can of beer in his hand, and we talked to him about the Lord, and he says, well, this here. He was saying to us, I'm not ready to give up my beer. I'm not ready to give it up. Well, it'd be better for that man to have his hand cut off so he can't hold his beer anymore, rather than go to hell over that beer, that liquor. The Bible teaches repentance. Some people just can't control their eyes. They can't stay away from pornography. It'd be better to have an eye plucked out. It'd be better to lose an eye to cancer than having two eyes to not be able to control them and lust and end up in hell. So this is what Jesus said. Take out the eye, cut off the hand, cut off the foot. If those things are going to draw me to sin where I'm not going to repent, get saved, it'd be better to have them cut off, plucked out. This passage also brings up number 9. If people scoff at fire, if they can't decide if there's fire in hell, wait till they look at this one. Worms. Worms. How many of you young people like to play with worms? Wow, I'm surprised. I thought somebody would raise their hand. I've asked that question about snakes, and they raised their hands. I would think they'd rather play with a worm than a snake. Must be not. How many of you like to fish? Some of you like to play with worms, see? Worms. When I put our garbage in the garbage can, many times I'll double tap. Like, you know when you like cut up melons and things? Certain things in the hot summer just really attract flies and maggots. So when I'll cut those things like that, I'll put it like in a little plastic grocery sack and I'll tie that. And then I'll put it in a garbage sack and tie that, and then I'll throw it in the garbage pail. Because I hate to open the garbage pail and see all those things crawling all over. That's a terrible sight, isn't it? All right. We read about the fire in hell is not quenched, but how many times did we read the worm dieth not? Verse 43. We'll read through again. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter to life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, to the fire that never shall be quenched, where there are what? worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, to the fire that never shall be quenched, where there what? Worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter to the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where there what? Worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. How many times did Peter deny the Lord? 3 times. How many times did Jesus ask him to confirm his love? 3 times. How many times does it say here the worm in hell doesn't die? 3 times. You think people scoff at the matter of fire in hell? Now just tell them hell is crawling with worms. And they'll really scoff at that one. 3 times the Bible says here, the worm, their worm, dieth not. Well, God has given an earthly illustration just to show that it's possible, because people would say, well, how could worms ever survive in fire? Something that hot. Well, the Lord has given an illustration of that. Brother Jerry sent me a link to something, and it got me studying more. And I found out in the late 1970s, scientists were on a routine study of the ocean floor, and they were in the South Pacific, excuse me, the East Pacific, and 8,000 feet below the surface, they found a strange sight, a landscape down there that was covered with what appeared to be chimneys expelling black smoke. And so this was new to them. So they discovered an ecosystem that they were not aware of. They thought everything living had to survive by sunlight, photosynthesis. But this was down so low, there's no light. They didn't figure any life could survive down there. And so what they found was deep sea thermal vents, volcanic activity below the oceans, and the hot magma, the water seeping down in these cracks and being superheated and coming back out as black smoke. They called them black smokers, is what they became known as. So they began to study these, and they found that around these black smokers, life is thriving, animal life. And one thing they found that was striking, and I looked, because I didn't want to just say something that one weird website, you know, talks about. So, and I found many different websites that talked about this. And these were not spiritual websites. These are websites dealing with discoveries down in the oceans. But what they found near these black smokers, near these vents down deep in the ocean, they found tube worms, giant ones, up to 8 feet long. I didn't find this just on one site, but on several. All of those who mention these deep sea vents and this water being superheated that went down into them, they mentioned right around these deep sea vents were these huge tube worms, huge. They said that on the normal size of these up in shallow waters would be the size of your hand. And down there, where there's no light, and only around these deep sea vents are these huge, gigantic tube worms. I am not saying that these worms crawled out of hell, out of these vents, I am saying God put them there to show you that they can survive, because this baffled the scientists, because the water coming up out of those vents, you got to understand that the water around them is like freezing cold in the bottom of the ocean. But the water coming out of them can be up to 600 degrees. And it baffled them that these worms were not killed by this scalding water. You know what? God can make worms that survive heat. And he proved it. And he gave an illustration to man right down near these holes, letting out this hot mixture from the depths. So three times the Lord said it. There are worms in hell, worms that do not die. Why is the Lord doing this? Why did the Lord make such a place? We saw this morning, because the devil in his own selfishness and pride wanted to exalt himself above God. And you know what? In life, we're at the point right now where people only want the positive. They don't want to hear the truth. We saw this morning, the devil is deceiving people. There is a horrible place awaiting those who reject Jesus Christ. You may say, why did he make it so horrible? Well, you know, in life, there's not much more horrible than a selfish person. The Bible says this: know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and on it goes. What's the first thing? They're lovers of themselves. It's hard to live with someone that loves only themselves. And you know what? The Lord has created a horrible place. And it ought to wake people up. It ought to wake them up to repent of their sin, their selfishness. Let's go on to number 10. There's no light in hell. There's no light. We just mentioned this baffled, and the scientists call this, instead of photosynthesis, chemosynthesis. I may be saying that word wrong, but there's no light down there. And yet there's this animal life, gigantic animal life, living out of the bacteria that is coming out of that pit. There's no light, no light. You know what? Those worms, those giant tube worms, have no eyes. They don't need eyes. Person that goes to hell doesn't need eyes either. There's no light in hell. Notice back in Jude. If someone asks you, do you think there's fire in hell? Just tell them, it doesn't matter what I think. God says there is. No, but yeah, he says that, but what do you think? It doesn't matter what I think. God says there is. You see, what they try to do is to base their ridicule on what we say. Don't let them do that to you. Just say, it's the word of God. It's not my word. It's the word of God. But what do you say? I don't say anything. I just accept what God says. Because you know what? If they can get you to say you're saying it, if it's your word, they just mock it as your word. No, it's God's word. I believe what God says. No, but what do you say? I just believe what God says. No, but what do you say? I believe what God says. And you know what that leaves them? They're mocking what God says. Don't give them ammunition to mock what you say. You just stick with it. It's God. Who says there's worms in hell? God says it. And he said it three times. Three times. In Jude, verse 12. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are, without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is what? Reserved. What is reserved to them? The what? The blackness of darkness forever. People say, oh, I wouldn't feel at home in heaven anyway, singing those old hymns, dressing like you Christians. Why, I wouldn't even enjoy being there. I'm going to go to hell. All my friends are there. Everyone who's died, they're all there. And we're going to party in hell. Do you know what one of the plagues that Pharaoh faced that he couldn't take any more of was? 3 days of darkness. Couldn't stand it anymore. There was light in the dwellings of the Israelites, but not in Pharaoh's. That's one of the plagues he could not stand after 3 days. 3 days? That's nothing compared to eternity in hell. Nothing. I've heard about people that have been trapped in caves, and they went just crazy. Why? Their light ran out, and it was dark. Just a cave is totally black, no light. And it has drove them crazy. Pharaoh couldn't stand it after 3 days. Imagine in hell. To them it is reserved the blackness of darkness. How long? Forever. It's never going to end. Ever. Notice in Psalm 49. Psalm 49. Hell is a place of no light. No light. You may say, well, how can it be a lake of fire and no light? Well, very easy. It's a liquid lake of fire. I looked up some sites that talked about referring to volcanoes as brimstone and fire. We could look up several verses about that, but Psalm 49, verse 16. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased, for when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall what? Never see light. Never. But what about after 3 days in hell and just going crazy because of the darkness? They're never going to see light. And yet we know from Luke 16 they're going to have memory. Abraham said, son, remember that thou and thy life, remember. Memory in hell, but all light taken away. Let's go back to Jude. Verse 6. Jude, verse 6. There is no light in hell. Party? How are you going to party when you can't see anyone? Let me ask you something. If you're hurting, when do you hurt more? In the day when you're up doing things, or when you lay down at night? When you lay down. It seems like when our children were small, we always needed the doctor at night. Why? Why is it that ear infections only come upon children in the middle of the night? Well, they don't always come on them in the middle of the night. But children are up and they're active and they're playing. And when they lay down, mommy, my ear hurts. Mommy, my ear hurts bad. What's the difference? It's night. It's dark. And they don't have anything else to think about. Imagine in hell, the pain. It is totally black. Remember when Jeremiah was cast down into the pit, when he was cast into prison and it was a pit? And he talked about his breathing. Normally in the day, we don't hear our breathing, but at night we do. Maybe those in the rest of the house hear our breathing at night too. It might get kind of loud. But in Jude, it's black in hell. Imagine how the pain is going to be multiplied because there's nothing else to concentrate on but pain. In Jude, verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate but left their own habitation, yet reserved in everlasting chains under what? Darkness. Under the judgment of the great day. Darkness. Now look in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2. We're going to close with this one. I've got too much more to cover, and so we'll take this on another service, but there's just so much more about hell that we need to be aware of and to warn people about. Second Peter 2, verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, excuse me, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. Excuse me, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of what? Darkness is what? Reserved forever. It is black in hell. There is no light in hell. The people that go to hell are never going to see light. Ever. The people in hell are in torment. There are worms in hell. There's fire. There's thirst. There's many more things we're going to talk about. And yet, this is the doctrine that we're not hearing much about. This is the most horrible thing that is facing mankind. But who's telling them about it? Who is warning them about it? Very few. We just want a positive religion. We don't want to hear anything negative. And so people are going headlong. You know what? There's a lot of people who think that, why, hell couldn't be any worse than on earth. I mean, things are so bad on earth. Earth is nothing compared to hell. Nothing. May the Lord help us to get out the truth, shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you left us your word to warn us to flee from the wrath to come. And Father, as we just hit at these points about hell, and we fear for so many people who are being told all religions are okay. They're all trying to get to the same place. And Lord, we understand they're being deceived. Jesus himself told the Jewish leaders, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? As we saw tonight, they're trusting in their own works. Many are going to stand before you one day, claiming they deserve to go to heaven based upon what they have done for you. But we understand, Lord, the only way we can go to heaven is based upon what Jesus did for us when he gave his precious, sinless blood on that cross to make the payment for our sin. Lord, we understand tonight the importance of repentance. These old bodies, these vile bodies of flesh, these eyes, these hands, these feet are so prone to do the wrong thing. And Father, we realize from tonight, you said it'd be better to have the eye plucked out, the hand, the foot cut off, than to be led about in life to sin by those things and end up in hellfire. A horrible, horrible place. So Lord, help us to put forth the truth. And we understand today there are scoffers all around. Lord, help us not to make the mistake of trying to make this our words. Help us, Lord, to drill it home. These are not our words, but your words. Fire, hell, torment, worms, darkness, all forever. So, Lord, please help us to be faithful, preaching the word in season, out of season, that precious souls might be plucked from the burning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.